Shalom and welcome everyone. I'm Stefan Yah-Aber and I would like to welcome you to the YahweH.name website. Shalom. The motive for keeping Yahweh's Torah is we love him. Call on his name, on Yahweh, his separated name. Keep his feasts, the dietary laws, tithing, and much more, all for the same reason. We have love for Yahweh and for his word. And the proof is in Psalm 19. Proof is in 1 John 5. Proof is from Jeremiah and actually all the way back to Genesis. Genesis to the Revelation. John in 1 John 5 that many, many are familiar with these days. Whosoever believeth that Messiah is born of Yahweh, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of Yahweh, when we love Yahweh and keep his commandments. For this is the love of Yahweh. What? For this is the love of Yahweh, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Now this is the love of Yahweh, that we keep his commandments. And for whatsoever is born of Yahweh overcometh the world. Now this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that the Messiah is the Son of Yahweh. Now the modern versions today use the title G-O-D. We're using Yahweh. And also they use the name Jesus. We use Yahweh-Hosha. They use the title Christ. We use Messiah. This is he that came by water and blood, even Yahweh-Hosha Messiah. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now I'll flip over to Psalm 19. Just by coincidence, Psalm 119 is parallel to Psalm 19. Only it's the longest psalm in the Scriptures. Psalm 19, which starts out, "The heavens declare the esteem of Yahweh, and the firmament shows his handiwork." We get down to verse 7, where it says, "The Torah of," and in the modern versions, it uses the word law, "the Torah of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Yahweh is pure, enlightening the eyes." So we have, so far, the word Torah, testimony, statutes, commandment, and next, "The fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of Yahweh are true and righteous altogether." The judgments are found in Exodus 21 through 23, and they are part of the Torah, part of the law. "The judgments of Yahweh are true and righteous altogether." Perhaps the evangelical world will read it, as we have pointed out later here in our articles and website and voice files, that they would read it like this. The Protestants who are rebellious, that is, would read it that the Torah of Yahweh is almost perfect, converting the soul. The statutes of Yahweh are almost right, rejoicing the heart, or hardly even rejoicing the heart, they would probably say. The commandment of Yahweh is pure, except for that fourth commandment, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Yahweh is clean, as long as we just mean respect. Fear only means respect, according to the modern rebellious person. The fear of Yahweh, though it says, is clean, enduring forever. Then they would say the judgments of Yahweh are almost true and pretty much righteous altogether. And of course, it does not say that. It says the judgments of Yahweh are true and righteous altogether. Psalm 119, I avoid that because it's about 200 verses long. But and then by avoiding it, I'm not reading it at all. So let's just read Psalm 119, verse 103, and see where we go here. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Back in 96, verse 96, I have seen an end of all perfection. Well, so much for that. No more perfection then, right? That's how they would interpret it, the word end. I've seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Yes, his commandment does is broad. It applies to a whole wealth of situations. It applies to every situation. So we keep his feasts. We call on his name. We keep the dietary laws, all because we love Yahweh. And his word is pure. His word that we read here called the scriptures. We call on Yahweh. That is from YHVH, the Tetragrammaton, it is called. We'll explain these things later. This is just a short introduction I'm doing here for you. He said in Psalm 119, I hate every false way. Now when we think of the dietary laws, remember that the clean animals went in by seven. The clean animals back there in the book of Genesis went in by seven, but the unclean by two. So already there was that distinction, and for good reason too, because if they would have ate an animal, the species would have gone extinct if there were only a male and female animal. Somebody could say, well, but two's just meaning there were tons of pigs. There was the male and the female pigs. No, the ark couldn't have held, Noah's ark could not have held tons, you know, that many varieties, because it had the, well, it's within the variety. It couldn't have held hundreds and thousands of animals within a certain species. It only had one each there, according to the word. Messiah paid the highest supreme price for our sins. He underwent insults, tortures, and even death for us. And all it took was just one sin to put him on that tree at Calvary. So only by his unmerited favor, by his resurrection, are we saved and have eternal life. In 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. So we just dive right in, dive into our commitments to Yahweh with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Dive in with both feet, as it were. With all of our resources, all of our time and our energy, our talents, even our finances. What is love? 1 John 5, this is the love of Yahweh, that we keep his commandments. What is sin? 1 John 3 and chapter 5, verse 17. Sin is the transgression of the law. And bondage is found, we can talk about all kinds of bondage there found throughout Genesis, through the book of the Revelation. In Genesis 5 it says, be not entangled again with a yoke of bondage. What's liberty? Psalm 119, I will walk at liberty. I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Psalm 119:45, verse 45. Genesis 26, way before Moses, 400 years. Genesis 26, verse 5, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Statutes including the feast days. Abraham in Genesis 26, 5, kept his charge, commandments, statutes, laws. He kept Yahweh's laws even before they were codified by Moses. Yahweh the Father writes his name and writes his word in your heart, Jeremiah chapter 31, on the tables of your heart. It was a matter of heart back in the Old Testament times as it is in the New. Yahweh's word contains the Torah, which includes his Sabbaths and new moons. When filled with his Spirit, we are enabled to keep his Torah. You've got to be filled with the Spirit, though. You can't do it on your own. And we are not saved by good works, but saved unto good works. Hosea 8:12, well, that would be Ephesians 2:10. But we are, you know, the purpose for our being saved is to present our good works before the Father, and we can't do them without His help. Hosea 8:12 says, I have written to him the great things of my Torah, but they were counted as a strange thing. If you listen to Christian radio, commonly you will hear that the Torah is a strange thing. It was too hard. We couldn't keep it. But according to Yahweh's word, oh, that's the way that we love him. That's the way we show him our commitment, is when he helped us to keep his Torah, his law. I've written to him the great things of my Torah, but they're counted as a strange thing. Isaiah 1, thy silver has become dross, thy wine mixed with water. There's a lot of mixture, syncretism, a lot of other, the blending of the pure faith with the blending of false religion, using Baal's name for his name, or Baal, mixing Babylon with a true faith. So we need to make that our goal, is to come out of Babylon and enter into Yahweh's kingdom by faith in Messiah, on Yahweh, not yes, we'll be talking about the name of Yahweh. We'll be explaining that here on this website. We will be going into the feast days. We're talking about pagan holidays. We'll have the article, Come Out of Her, My People. Who are we to come out of? Come out of Rome, come out of Babylon. It's clear. As we read this, we have references, we have authentication to prove that what we say is true. You know, even there could be more research beyond what we say. What we say is not the bottom line. We'll be speaking about modern education. We'll be speaking of the Spirit, Ezekiel 36:26, the Spirit and Yahweh's Torah. We'll ask you to not be frightened. Quite an article about that. Articles about the name with plenty of references there. I claim that there's 25 references to show that the V in Yahweh is correct. Talking about children, how we should be respecting our Father by being responsible for our children. We'll go to the article Zeitgeist, a German internet site that tries to say that all religion that comes from the Messiah evolved out of paganism, because many practices, if you trace them back, many words and titles go back to the origin of pagan practices, and so therefore they make the conclusion that these religions, the Christian religion, came out of paganism. But we need to understand that those pagan things were added somewhere around the time of Constantine in the 4th century. Somewhere there in the year 300 after Messiah. And some of the other articles we'll look over. Bondage of New World Order. That will be at the top of the website for you to be able to read the text and listen at the same time. That would be even better. It's all written down there for you. On many of these files, Bondage New World Order, and talks about the laws of man today that conflict with Yahweh's laws, that in fact tries to put it into bondage. Speaking of bondage, we'll be addressing the issue of those hats. Should we wear a certain kind of clothing? Oh, such an irrelevant issue, such a light thing. Well, we'll be looking into that for sure. Talking about clean scriptural food, some of the websites and proofs for keeping healthy. They found a cure for cancer long, long ago, and it's just so easy as opening up the bedroom window and letting some fresh air in. Simple tips like that, and drinking lots of water. In the bottom line, drinking that water, of course, most of all praying to our Heavenly Father that we would be healthy. Another subject to discuss will be the covenant. What is the covenant of Yahweh? So many churches would have studies on that, but, what really is the covenant, the new covenant of Yahweh? found in Hebrews chapter 8. So kind of going to that a little deeper than just a, you know, historical look, or, you know, what the church has always taught about it and all of this. We need to, what does the scripture say about the covenant? That's all you need to know. Talk about the, about immersion or baptism or mikvah. Talk about feast days. How today's secular media affects believers and humans. All, you know, we're all humans. We'll talk about Messiah and his name. We'll also, salvation is Jewish? Well, we'll have a look at that in our article, Salvation is Jewish. And if it were Jewish, or if it were Japanese, or Spanish, or French, would that make a difference? Prodigal modern tools? Well, we need to have tools to be a parent. And what would happen if our daughter or son left home and went out and lived like the world and spent the inheritance, and then he came back? What would be our attitude then? What would be the conditions that would be laid down? Would they be lax? And, you know, make it easy for him. Oh, well, we're going to address that false concept of, you know, when daughter returns home after being out there in the world, should we just let her, you know, go back to your bedroom and lock the door and do whatever, you know, turn on the internet. And, you know, well, that's something to be addressed there. And another one is called Tabernacles, Feast of Tabernacles by Heart. The heart issues. You know, it's not a law issue, it's a heart issue, really. Why do we want to present ourselves before our Heavenly Father in the millennium? Zechariah 14 answers part of that question. And last but not least, and probably should have been first, why the V in Yava? That's the purpose of this website, is to correct the problems about that. The most popular name for our Heavenly Father today from the Tetragrammaton, the most popular name is Yahweh with a W. So did the V come first or did the W? There's certain messianic radio and television preachers who claim that the W came first, but with these references, these simple references, we are authenticating and proving beyond a shadow of a doubt that the V did come first. So it would be Yava, and it's not a question of pronunciation, it's a, you know, just a question of spelling. Can we just use any letters to spell our esteemed Creator, our Almighty King of Kings and the Commander-in-Chief? Can we just change all the letters just any way we please? Of course not. So we want to be on top of that, getting ourselves ready for Yahweh to come back. He's going to come back quickly. So many, many issues. Look at our table of contents. Many different discussions here. These materials are mainly for the serious, true believers in Yahweh. We believe that man should live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. And there is no such thing as minor doctrine. Everything is important, but there are priorities on the different teachings. We want to walk as Messiah did. Matthew 4:4. To not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of his mouth. Everything in Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, has its purpose in our life. Yahweh observed his Torah, that is, the Messiah observed his Torah, and he wore the Hebraic apparel. He did not promote traditional Jewish traditions in the Talmud. He did not promote it. He corrected things in there. He corrected details. Exodus chapter 12 says, "One law shall be to him that is homeborn and unto the stranger that sojourns among you." A similar law in Leviticus 24:32, that's Leviticus 24:32, and Numbers 9:14, the Midbar 9:14, and also chapter 15:16. This Torah is a manner of law, and it must be the standard. Everything beyond the Torah must be consistent with that one law. The importance of knowing how to spell and say Yahweh's name is that we might call personally on him. We can also use titles to call on him, and that would be less than personal, but we use titles now and then. Of course, the world uses the title G-O-D, but we could use Commander-in-Chief, King of Kings, Mighty One of Mighty Ones, the Eternal, the Good Shepherd, and so on. There's a teaching that the Hebrew characters that spell Yahweh's name do not mean anything. Once we've proven the correct way to spell that most wonderful name, then somebody else must come up with another way to avoid using it. And they do this by redefining the word name to avoid spelling any specific name and sound, and to only represent, for example, Yahweh's character and authority, or authority, but they have no way to address him. Lord is there, you know, which, if you look in the concordance, Lord means Baal. Lord is only a title. No, you know, then the argument about a big L or a little L, well, that is drawing straws, but Lord is only a title, not somebody's name, so we need to address him not by title all the time. And we could say Heavenly Father. Yeah, that's legitimate. Peace with men is more important than truth. Avoid controversy at all costs. No, he didn't say that. He said that judgment is coming for all of us, and that we better be right. We better be ready and right and make ourselves ready. Are you part of the bride making yourself ready right now? So let us, or U.S., the United States, let that government be ready. I don't think it will be. I think we only have a short amount of time, because we're coming to that 7,000th rest year of man's reign on earth, or man's time of being on earth. Hosea 5, chapter 1, "Hear you this, O priests, and hearken, you house of the northern kingdom, and give ear, O you house of the king, for judgment is toward you, because you have seen a snare on Mizpah and a net spread upon Tabor." A net spread upon Tabor. "And the revolters are profound to make slaughter, though I have been a rebuker of them all. I know Ephraim, and the chosen ones are not hid from me. For now, O Ephraim, thou committest whoredom, and the chosen land is defiled. They will not frame their doings to turn unto their mighty one. For the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known Yahweh." They have not known Yahweh. "And the pride of the Hebrews does testify to his face. Therefore shall the northern kingdom and Ephraim fall in their iniquity. Judah also shall fall with them." That's what we are seeing around the world, if not certainly in the United States government. That was Hosea 5, 1 through 5. The perverting of Yahweh's pure word, the endless redefining of Scripture, and the perverting, and judgment is going to fall on those who deliberately tamper with the separated Scriptures. Yeah, we want to get responsible and have some accountability, and confess our sins to one another, and repent of having broken the Torah. 1 John 5:3. Jeremiah chapter 10. This is another verse that they like to twist. Jeremiah 10:25. "Pour out thy fury upon the heathen that know thee not, and upon the families that call not on thy name, for they have eaten up Jacob," or Yaakov. "They have eaten up Yaakov, and devoured him, and consumed him, and have made his habitation desolate." How the world interprets this? Northern tribes, do not call on his name. Use a substitute name. Now, Hosea chapter 6. I was reading from Jeremiah there, 10, but this is Hosea 6 then. "He is coming and will heal." Will we hear that now? Will we hear Yahweh's voice right now? Hosea chapter 9, verse 5. "What will you do in a solemn day, and in the day of the feast of Yahweh?" Verse 10. 9, verse 10. "I saw your fathers I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree at her first time. But they went to Baal Peor and separated themselves unto that shame, and their abominations were according as they loved. I was reading there from the King James Version. And now reading from the version called The Scriptures, which is a modern version, but still its origin is from the Antioch Scrolls. So, from the same chapter, 9 verse 10, I found the chosen ones like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first fruits on the fig tree in its beginning. They themselves had gone to Baal Peor and separated themselves unto shame, and became as abomination as that which they loved. Then in Hosea 13:14 in 1 Corinthians, please read it all, but right now I'm just going to say, and or rather quote, from the power of the grave I ransom thee, from death I redeem them. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance is hidden from my eyes. Hosea 14, verses 4 to 7, referring to that second coming of the Messiah. I shall heal their backsliding. I shall love them spontaneously, for my displeasure has turned away from him. I shall be like the dew to the chosen ones. He shall bloom like the lily, and cast out his roots like Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his splendor shall be like an olive tree, and his fragrance like Lebanon. Those who dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive like the grain and blossom like the vine, and become as fragrant as the wine of Lebanon. They shall revive like the grain and blossom as the vine, and become as fragrant as the wine of Lebanon. The first fruits are his bride. First fruits are his bride. Leviticus 23, or yes, you could go there, but also Joel 2:32, Yo-Yahweh 2:32, and it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of Yahweh shall be delivered. For on Mount Zion and Jerusalem there shall be an escape among the survivors when Yahweh calls, as Yahweh has said. So consider these things, especially it's a very important to consider Yahweh's name, to reconsider it. Some scriptures pertaining to our Master's name, Amos 5 and Amos 6, Yahweh of hosts is his name. That's Amos 4:13, Amos 5:8, and 6:10. Zephaniah 3:9. We look forward to a pure language. Zephaniah 3:9. And Nehemiah 13:24 addresses language, culture, and marriage. Do you establish your beliefs on the same foundation that the Messiah and Paul and all the 12 emissaries did? This foundation in the so-called Old Testament is not by doubt forcing different means of Shaul's words and twisting them, but as he was inspired by Yahweh. Many of our friends, well-meaning friends, think the Torah, they're reading the Jewish system as they think that, they think it was done away with and the Gentile system was put into place. Well, there's more truth to that than they realize, or that we all realize, that the Gentile system has been the confusion of Babylon, but we're removed from that. We're independent, and in that respect, we're neutral, not meaning that we're not going to encounter them or anything with the truth, but we are removed from it, from the full force of the Babylonian system, and from its power, from Satan's power, and man being used by Satan from those instruments. We are hopefully removed far enough from that so that it doesn't really affect us that much, even as we go to the city and go through the shopping centers being blasted by the media out there, and it sometimes would overcome a person's intellect, overcome our mental resources by this blaring music with a satanic beat and so on. Many Protestants think the Torah was done away with and the Gentile system was put into place, but if this is the Messianic system, then it is a Jewish system that cannot be separated, and to do so would be anti-Semitic and sin. I have written that, I realize it should say, to do so would be anti-Messiah, not just anti-Semitic, but anti-Messiah, and it certainly would be in the breaking of Torah to put our hearts and our efforts into the Gentile system out there, that Babylonian system. Not to say that everything out there is to be condemned, but, you know, as we mentioned earlier, it's a mixture of good and bad. A Jewish system? Well, what if it were a Spanish system that turned people off? So the Jewish words should not turn us away either. And Yahusha, the Messiah's name, as we've studied from Scripture and from the concordance and the lexicon, Yahusha is the same, yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13, and many other places. We've even pointed out in this broadcast today, whatever is found in the New Testament must be consistent with the Old Testament in the way that Yahweh, the priest, the Melchizedek priest, has applied these things to us, to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Father is, in James 1, it says, with no variableness, nor shadow of turning. We're not to turn to the traditions of man out there today, and the Roman system, or the Jewish Kabbalah, the mysticism. According to Encyclopedia Britannica, it says this about G.O.D., you can't define G.O.D. You can't define him. Yet Yahweh defines himself. It doesn't say that, but that's, you know, the word tells, he is, you know, behold, I come in the volume of the book. Yahweh defines himself, and lo, I am found in the volume. The Kabbalah claims we are equal with G.O.D. Are we equal with Yahweh? Let's establish our basic beliefs and knowledge. First of all, on the basics. We don't start at the end of the book. We start at pretty much near the beginning of the book, commonly called the Old Testament. The Kabbalah claims that the Goyim are not saved. That's the Gentiles. The Kabbalah claims that, but that Messiah, you know, he offers this to everyone. Whosoever will call upon the name of Messiah can be and shall be saved. We find a myriad of metaphysical trappings in the Jewish Kabbalah, but in John chapter 3, Yahweh wants all men to be saved. Thank you for joining us. Please continue on and to surf through our website, YahwehYahweh.name, and may you be blessed today. Shalom.